Whether it's life, relationships, politics, or current events, nothing is off limits. This is the Patty and the Millennials podcast, powered by Acme Markets, helping to bridge the gap between baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials.
This is the podcast conversation, Patty and the Millennials. We're going on like our 8th year doing this. And conversation is so important. And you know why? Because you must talk out issues and things. And it's just something that we need to do. I'm Patty Jackson. I am a radio vet in Philadelphia. And I've gathered up millennials and Gen X men, women. And we just talk about a lot of things. And it's really, really good conversation. Today we're talking about sex, drugs, and the music business. How much is the music business responsible when we see some of the greatest entertainers, some of the biggest superstars, and the way that they've died tragically from drugs? This has been going on for decades, and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop, because it's like, I guess as long as you can be propped up and go out there and perform, they're going to turn the other cheek. Desi Neal is here. Desi, this question, we've seen it
for
decades.
Mm-hmm.
For decades, they will prop you up and put you out, and it doesn't care what music it is, what format. Drugs in the music business is a problem.
It is. It is. You know, this is such a wonderful topic. I've always wondered this back in the day, from the days of A&Rs, right? When they were A&Rs for these labels, they would prioritize somebody to make sure that your style was on point. They would prioritize people to make sure that you would answer an interview correctly, but never prioritized a mental health coach, a counselor, a substance abuse counselor. Never. That's never been a priority. So between the promotion of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and living it up, and you know what I mean, doing whatever, getting through the night in a wild night, between the promotion of that and the lack of support, you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like this is inevitable, and it is continuously perpetuated in the industry. But then when somebody OD, we want to be like, oh man, well, I don't want, what happened? You saw it happen. We watched it happen. We listened to it happen. We celebrated it happening, sometimes even on stage, as we watched the rants and called it creativity, and never assisted from a mental health perspective.
Arlene Felder is joining us. Glassy Brown Cookies, 224 High Street in Burlington, New Jersey. You hear about sex, drugs, rock and roll, sex, drugs, and the music business. Arlene, the music business, they see the destruction with drugs and alcohol. Do you think that the music business should care enough to try to save an artist or not steer them in that direction? Because we hear stories time and time again where most of your major artists, they've got serious issues.
I absolutely do think they should care enough for most of them. In my opinion, most of them don't, because if you could string somebody along and keep them on drugs and take their money and make yourself a billionaire, why would you invest that time? You could just take their money. A lot of them are like vultures with that.
It is the vulture mentality, and it's something that we've seen time and time again with some of our biggest superstars. You know, in the Elvis movie, it was just sad that they would just prop him up, and as long as he would show up to perform.
That's absolutely insane. But you know what? Beyond Elvis, there's so many other artists, entertainers, who have fallen by the wayside due to that so-called rock candy.
Uncle O is joining us. We often hear about sex, drugs, rock and roll, but does it always have to be like that? Because it seems like the biggest entertainers that we've come to love, adore, they've made history, they've all had drug problems. Don't you think that a record company or people involved would say, wait a minute, you can't go down this path? Or do they just keep it going just to keep that artist, you know, in place or can control them through the drugs?
Well, I think that a lot of people came into the business with a drug problem to begin with. I think that once you get in the business and you get some success like that and you get into money, you are now able to buy more drugs. So the problem becomes the industry doesn't care. They don't care about that these artists are strung out on drugs as long as they're making their money, you know. But a lot of people go into the industry and they've had drug problems before they got there. And now they have the money to fund that drug problem they had beforehand.
Why do you think it's like so prevalent in the music world? I mean, all genres, whether it's rock music, whether it's hip hop. This is truly like only the strong survive, and this has been going on for decades.
Well, because, you know, it's in everyday life. But the only reason it's so prevalent there is because it's at the forefront, and you see these people every day. You know, everybody's got an uncle, cousin, nephew, or somebody on some kind of substance, and that's never amplified unless those people make some kind of big success, and then you know what they're doing because it's being publicized every day.
The music business and drugs, do they have to go hand in hand? If you have a record label or if you have an artist, if you see them going down that road of drug hell, why do many of them not do anything? Whitney Roberts is joining us, Woke Mama. So many entertainers that we know, love, care about, admire, they've got drugs attached to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really heartbreaking to watch. Like, I remember I used to love Amy Winehouse. Like, I used to love her music. And, you know, you could see that there was something wrong. You could see her just slowly deteriorating. And I'm like, where are the people who love her? Where are the people who respect her? Hell, where are the people who make the money off of her and say, hey, you know, we kind of want to keep this going, like, in a really shallow way, but still, like, they at least feign like they care. Where were those people? Where are those voices at? Like, it's really tragic to watch.
It's time for Deja. Sex, drugs, and the music business. Does it always have to go together that we see some of our biggest entertainers? They're linked to drugs. They die of drugs. And could it have been avoided? Do you think, I want to ask about the exploitation of artists. Do you think that many of them are just exploited and basically sacrificed? It's really sad, too, when you think about how Whitney Houston died and that no one was able to step in to help save her.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. It seems like there's just a lot that goes on when you sign into that industry. And we can't really speak on it because we don't know anything, but it seems like that seems to happen a lot when it comes to these artists, like these really big artists. They have to sacrifice something, whether it's themselves, their soul, whatever, for the entertainment industry. And it seems like that's all a part of it.
Do you think women are over-sexualized? At least it is to me.
Oh my God.
In R&B music. Ugh.
Yeah, for sure. Hip-hop, R&B, even like the R&B singers, like some of them, you have a good amount of like people like her or Summer Walker's not too bad, or Jhené Aiko, who are R&B people, and they're not overly sexualized. But everyone else, for the most part, is. Even if you're just trying to be an R&B singer, has to be sexy in order to sell. Everything has to be sexy to sell.
There's a singer. It escapes me. She was on tour with Queen Naja. There it is, Queen Naja. She really regrets getting those butt implants, and it looks weird because it's too big for her body. It doesn't even go. It's like, can her legs hold up that butt?
And that weight and everything, it just doesn't match, but you feel like you have to in order to fit with everything. And it's like, it's a burnout. All the girls are looking the same with that, and it doesn't match, and you don't need it.
Sex, drugs, and the music business is what we're talking about on this segment of Patty and the Millennials. Dexter is here. Dexter, I often think of the career of R. Kelly. For so many years, he was allowed to do whatever he wanted, and then everything came crashing down. What responsibility would you say that the music or the record label that he worked with or his management and seeing that there was a problem, like, Houston, there's a problem, and stepping in and doing something.
Oh, I think 100%. And I know it sounds like, wait, you can't fully blame them. Like, yes, you can, because you guys are providing the resources for it. I think I was looking at his documentary. I think he's a perfect example, because I was looking at the documentary they did on him recently, and they talked about how the Aaliyah thing was public knowledge. Like, people knew about that. It wasn't hidden that he had married a 15-year-old. Like, people knew that. And, like, they were still allowing him to go on public platforms and talk about it. And talk about, like, you know, different things he's doing musically and stuff. And I think that as a job, it was they're his label. It was their responsibility to be like, you know what, we're not going to fund the foolishness. And I think that now with these younger rappers who are out here killing each other and consistently dying and stuff, I think it's really important for the labels to step in and say, like, you know what, we're not going to keep funding foolishness. And, like, we keep doing that. We keep allowing it, too.
Sex, drugs, the music business, rock and roll, women, are they over-sexualized? We're talking about music, the music industry, responsibility. We've got author Kim Reed, Optimists Always Win. I can't wait till she brings out the follow-up, but we don't want to rush her here. But we have her with us, joining us on the podcast, Patty and the Millennials. And Kim, you know how you read about, like, some of your favorite entertainers or really, really big stars, and most of them die because they're associated with drugs? Do you think that record companies or managers, should they, like, step in? Because it's like, couldn't you have saved them? That Elvis movie made me so sad, because friends died 42. He was used by people who were just satisfied with propping him up, right? Oh, he all right. Just give him something. And he can get back on the stage. It was appalling.
Look at the alleged stories outside of that one. But by the way, I share your same sentiments, Patty. I mean, it was sad. It is very sad. Look at all of the greats that allegedly, we don't really know, right? We really don't know. But the alleged drug use of many of the greats, I mean, hit makers. You talk about, you know, and I'm not saying drugs like heroin and other things. I'm talking about drugs like pain medicine and stuff. Like Prince, he did those splits until he was damn near 60, right? And, you know, and so, you know, they go hard for us, right? So, and they're superstars, right? And that life, you know, you hear these stories how addicting that life is, right? And that you got the best. You're selling platinum, you know, multi-platinum albums, you're selling out arenas bigger than, you know, Madison Square Garden. I mean, there's got to be pressure with that. I'm a professional speaker, little old me, and there is pressure when there's 10,000 people in the audience. So I can only imagine, and I don't sing, Patty, I don't sing. All I spur is inspiration. So if I sang, dance, had to keep my body right, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? I mean, you're scrutinized to some crazy level of perfection that we can't even live to. I could not imagine living my life like that every day. So to answer your question about does a manager step in, half of the time, Patty, I would suspect that the manager may not even know until it's too late, one. Or if they do know, you're right. They're saying, you know what, we're making this money. Let me tell you something about desperation and greed with money. People will do anything. Anything. So if that means pimp you out on that stage and put some coke in your nose before you go out, then that's what you're going to do. As long as you bring that multi-platinum album or you make that hit maker, and that's unfortunate. And it's so funny. It's so timely for that question, Patty, because I was just at a music business conference this past weekend in Charlotte. And the stories that some of these, you know, that the music executives was sharing, and we were laughing about some, but some are just downright sad because it was talent that was gone way too soon because of the pressures of the industry and the pressures of, you know, making hits. You know what I mean? So it's just a life that I for one couldn't even imagine to live in. And you know, I consider myself an extremely strong person and built for a lot, built for 99% of the crap I go through. Right. But please, I couldn't imagine adding millions of dollars on that in the world looking at me to make that next hit. I just couldn't imagine.
Okay, let's put aside the drugs. Let's take, for instance, an R. Kelly. People knew what was going on and they were doing, and no one stepped in.
For sure. So from that point, Patty, that's you talking now. You're right. So we're talking about drugs are over. Now that was a disgrace. People, you're absolutely right. People knew. There's no way in hell that people should have co-signed his crap. No way. But see, what happens, Patty, is that people sometimes, it's shared accountability. What I mean by that is a person like R. Kelly, they surround themselves with yes people. They surround themselves with people that co-sign their bullshit. They do, okay? And what happens is that, and I get fired up because you know I don't curse, but I get fired up when I think about this because I think about all of those weak people that he surrounded himself with that didn't say one word and knew that all of this was happening. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got money involved, right? You've got this superstar that, you know, we can't taint him because he's making us money. Everything goes back to desperation and money. People will do anything for a dollar. They will sell out their friends. They will sell their mother. They will do whatever it takes. And because you and I, we can't understand that mindset because we are not that type of person. But I believe all of what everyone's saying that to let him get away with it. Let him get away with it. Let him do what he's doing because we're benefiting from him. So yeah, no, people are not going to shut that down, Patty. They were benefiting from him, and it was a disgrace that they didn't. But you know what? You reap what you sow, and look what's happening to him now.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Sex, drugs, and the music business. Does it have to be that way for our superstars or anybody in the music business? How come record companies don't step in more when they see an artist out of control? And you talk about the superstars, your Elvises, your Michael Jackson, your Whitney Houston, your George Michael. The list is long. Do you think it's a record company's responsibility or the manager's to step in? Does it always have to be sex, drugs, music? Chocolate Divinity is joining us. LaToya Charleston, your thoughts?
It's so funny because especially when it comes to the drugs, you've heard like the greats and the legends say from time and time again, what they used to say back in the 70s and 60s, the drugs out unlock your mind. They make you be able to think. It sets you free. And it's like, I mean, now with this new age medicine going back to the basics, they'll tell you about how certain like psychedelics can unlock certain things for you. But when it gets totally out of hand, yes, it would be nice if the labels and the managers could step in and get involved. But the reality of it, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. I feel like financially, a lot of these labels, they're going to be okay. Why you think they get these life insurance policies out on these artists? Because at the end of the day, for them, it's all about the money. As long as you're keep putting out the work and we can cash in on you, it's cool. But then once, unfortunately, if drugs and drink get involved and you might not make it through, these execs, they're still going to get their coin at the end of the day. So it's just, it's really sad when they don't look at the person. When they start looking at the artist as more of a product than a person, it would be nice if they did get involved more. But at the end of the day, like, really, what can you do but so much? Because when it comes to this drugging and drinking, you cannot control anybody outside of yourself. So for me, I just feel like for the artist, that's when you just got to get a very strong sense of self, take some accountability, and try your best to get that monkey off your back should you take it on. Do I feel like those days, like, will we ever have separation between that and artistry? Absolutely not. And to really think that, it's kind of unrealistic in my opinion. But just got to stay prayed up and focus on your craft. It's a cold world out here. So you got to just be responsible for yourself. And just when you find those moments of darkness and swaying, just try your best to focus on the love of what it is that you do, because you want to continue to do it, right?
Sex Dr. Heather is here, the podcast conversation, Patty and the Millennials, sex, drugs, the music business. From a sexual point, a lot of times I feel, particularly with hip-hop or R&B women singers, they are so over-sexualized. Mm-hmm. And it's like the music business just lets it happen. It's like, mm-hmm. can we like tone it down a little bit? Mm-hmm. Do you think the music business should be just a little more, I don't know, considerate mm-hmm. or aware of the images that they're putting out?
Yeah, I do. Or conservative in that way. Like, can we focus on what the song, because half the time, Patty, so I agree with you about that. Like, we watching these videos, right? And I think the videos have really changed. So I just said this the other day to somebody. I said, I feel like I'm watching soft porn when I watch these videos nowadays. I cannot believe some of the things that are happening. And I feel like in a society where we don't talk about sex, Patty, at all, but you come here to our country and you see it on the TV, you see it on the billboard, you hear the radio. And let me tell you something, nobody wants to talk about it though, but it's all around us. So that's a mixed message there. So if you're into the music business and you're over-sexualized, I agree. It's because of these record labels. They're allowing this stuff to happen. You know, and the songs don't even match what's going on in the video half the time. And I just feel like this needs to be an approach where people stop and then have guidelines. People aren't going to stop having these sexualized videos on unless everybody does all at once. But, you know, I got to tell you, it's from a male perspective. Like, males want to see that, right? So if males want to see women being sexualized, what does that tell you about our society?
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, music, women over-sexualized. Does the music business have to be this way? Lexi is joining us. Lexi, when you see some of our bigger entertainers, the ones that are larger than life, most of them have had a drug problem. Couldn't the music business have stepped forward? We look at R. Kelly, which went on for years and years and years. You mean nobody at the record company or management said, Houston, we've got a problem. Women over-sexualize. I see R&B performers, hip-hop performers, female, and everything is over-sexualized. We are more than that. I put a lot out there for you to think about.
Oh, my God. It is, but you know what? It's common conversation, and it's a conversation we should be having. And the reason why is, one, because, yes, it is over-sexualized. Everything. Like, I can't even let my 11-year-old go on Netflix under her specific profile that's supposed to be designed for her age and pick a show, because everything is uncensored. I mean, like, back in the day, you couldn't even say certain words. I won't say them, you know, for obvious reasons. But you couldn't even say certain words on TV. They would be censored. But now you can pretty much run the gamut. And so the industry as a whole, I believe it is. But it's also because as a society, we are always chasing our flesh sometimes. And so it's not enough for us to be discreet in our look, right? Back in the day, appealing, intimacy, sexy, let's just say, used to be, you know, wearing the nice dresses, full-length dresses, and presenting yourself, not just showing a bunch of skin. Now, there is nothing left to the imagination. And some people may say, well, I love my body, and I'm body positive and all of that. You showing your flesh like that, that really should be reserved for, not just because we don't want to see it because of your weight or whatever, but really should just be reserved for you in the privacy of your own priesthood or whom, you know, you and yours. Now it's exposed to everybody. And so that's also, I think, what contributes to why we don't treat our bodies as well. because we don't value them as much as we used to. And so because of all of this hypersexuality that's happening, our kids are influenced by that. So they're thinking of themselves in a sexual way. You look at things as human and as God designed as breastfeeding. Now that somehow people get all up in arms, like over-sexualizing it, when it's me feeding my child. And so we talk a lot about this from so many different spaces as it relates to moms and motherhood, whatever space you occupy, though, I think an industry as a whole, we need to get a handle on it, because if this is where we are today, where else will we end up 10 years from now? Like, what more can we do? It's going to continue and continue to pull on us and exploit us.
Well, there's a lot of exploiting in the music business, whether it's on the sexual side, whether it's the drug side and alcohol, when artists clearly need help, but no one will really help them because they've got to get out there and work, you know, and perform and to do. Thank you so much, Lexi. Podcast conversation, Patty and the Millennials. Sex, drug, the music business, the whole thing. Whereas we love our favorite artists, but do all of them have to wind up dying, or most of them dying so tragically? Find us where we live, which is Spotify, SoundCloud, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, and of course, iHeartRadio Podcast, number one podcast. I'm Patty Jackson. This is the podcast, Patty and the Millennials.